Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Friday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Thursday. Layton wants to talk about government promises. Marcus wants to talk about the best toy you ever got for Christmas. And Kerry and Mark have a TUI problem they want to talk about. But before any of that, we need to talk about the butcher of Bosnia. Ratko Mladic.
Well, overnight, Mladic was found guilty of crimes against humanity, of extermination, of murder, of war crimes as well. The judge said Mladic had personally orchestrated massacres and ethnic cleansing. Mladic yelled from the dock when the verdict was read out. He said, "This is lies." He said, "I'll F your mother." And then the judge ordered he be removed from court.
If you continued like this, We adjourn. Mr. Mladic will be removed from the courtroom. Curtains down.
The judge said many horrific crimes were committed under Mladic's command, including the mass rape of Bosniak women and girls. He was central, Mladic, to the three-year siege of Sarajevo too. 11,000 civilians died in that time. And it was Mladic, you may remember, the sniper attacks there. It was Mladic who directed those sniper attacks and the shelling. 100,000 people were killed in that three-year war. And more than 20 years later, thousands still await formal identification. It's taken 22 years to bring Mladic to justice. You may remember he went into hiding. But finally, overnight in The Hague, justice has been done.
Of course, some people would argue he should be ethnically cleansed himself. Jeremy Bowen was a witness at the trial. Larry talked to him last night.
What was your role?
Well, basically, I testified when I was at the tribunal in The Hague. I testified the stuff that I'd reported on however many years, 20 years before, more than 20 years before. In Sarajevo, I testified on the conditions in Sarajevo, the killing, the anguish of the people, the privation, virtual starvation in some cases. And so what they were trying to do was to build up a picture of what Sarajevo was like under siege.
You didn't hesitate to testify?
It was the fourth time, as a matter of fact, I testified at the tribunal. Some journalists did hesitate and said they wouldn't do it, but I was keen to do it because, it wasn't like I was giving away any secrets. I was merely repeating stuff that I had put on the air a couple of decades beforehand. But, I think it's very important to have a reason for the kind of work that we do. As journalists, sometimes we come into people's lives at very bad moments for them, and that certainly was the case in the years of the wars of former Yugoslavia, where I spent an awful lot of time. And I think that I almost owed it to the people I reported on to give them a chance for justice.
You have worked in conflict zones for, over 30 years now. You saw the piles of dead bodies. Worst you've seen?
No, I've seen some pretty bad things in a lot of places, sadly. A lot of years on the road going to some rough places. Certainly as bad as in some particular cases, yeah. I mean, I'll give you an example. During the war in Mostar, which is the second city of Bosnia-Herzegovina, I was staying in the local war hospital that was in a cellar. And, people were coming in, terrible wounds, phosphorus burns, and those were people who were, they couldn't save them.
Yeah, so unusual question there from Larry. Is this the worst atrocity that you've ever seen? Hard to rate the atrocities, isn't it, sometimes? Anyway, I think we'll leave that there for now because it's the weekend and we want to look ahead, look forward. So the government promises, I'm sure they're delivering on those. Here's Layton.
Already, we're seeing the reaction of the present government not to actually rush to fulfil its promises. In fact, my bet is on any number of the things that they said that they were going to do, bottom line and all, we won't see it. We won't see it because it was never going to work, never going to be practical, never going to be an innocent move or a positive move on their part. And we've seen a number of them already. And the lay-in going into Pike River is just one example, and it's not an economic one. But it's an example of promises that were made that people voted on, and they're not going to happen, at least not anytime soon. Not with the speed that they were forecast. And if you cut back on, I'm thinking of a couple of people who wrote to me incessantly before the election with regard to, one still is, but not incessantly anymore, with regard to cutting back on the number of people coming into the country. And now all and sundry are saying that the cutback on immigration will affect the economy, it will set it back, and we will go backwards, and our standard of living will drop. I think I'm right, and I think it's fair of me to say, as far as those people who were arguing for it in the first place, they don't care if our standard of living drops. They don't care. And that's not a criticism, it's just an observation. They would rather have a poorer New Zealand and a less crowded one, a poorer one and more of the old New Zealand, a poorer one and less conflict. Because, let's face it, when you increase a population with people from disparate places and cultures, you're going to get some issues. It's just the way it works all over the world. You can't avoid it. You get a conflict, you get contrasts, and it usually leads to problems. They're not necessarily insurmountable, and over a period of time they may resolve themselves. But then again, sometimes they don't.
I mean, good points, except we use the word insurmountable, which isn't a word. Of course, it's insurmountable. I expect better from Leighton. Maybe he's just getting tired as we near the end of the year and get close to Christmas. Good time to talk about your favourite toy, of course.
Feeling quite Christmassy, which is a worry. I've never felt Christmassy in my life before. I did take the children to the warehouse to look for toys. But what they really wanted to do was actually find the toys they already had and point those out, which was delightful, but not really the point. So done and dusted anyway, that's the situation. I'll find them something exciting, no doubt. Anyway, we might talk a little bit of Christmas toys tonight, because I am very much of the theory that when you look back on life and look back at your favourite toy, it won't be one you got at Christmas. The Christmas toys tend to be the fatty ones tied in with some sort of merchandise that are never much good. You might crave them, but when it comes to push going to shove, they're never the ones that actually really come through in the play stakes. Because the things you really spend your time with is your Lego and your bike and the spare tire full of sand out the back. And I was actually thinking about this. I think about if you actually had to find your favourite toy of all time, what would it be? I think for me it was a dolphin.
He then went on to explain it was not a real dolphin. But I thought I'd leave it there anyway. He should have just left it at Lego. Lego is the best. No question. It's not even an argument, really. We're going to finish up with a problematic TUI, which has been... It's been harsh on Mark's ears, I think, is what's been happening there.
Listen, you're talking, you had a problem with a TUI.
Mm. Yes.
What sort of noise is he making?
Oh, we can play it
give
to
me,
you.
Give me 10 seconds. Give me 10 seconds. Let's go find it on my phone.
Not a screeching noise.
Kind of. Here we go.
Yeah, no, I think he's got some issues.
That's the official diagnosis.
Bless you. Yeah.
I don't know what you've got around there, but I'm looking. We've got two families of them out in our backyard.
Yeah.
They do need water.
Okay.
But the other thing I thought you could do is there's a honey mix at the pet shop, or Mitre 10.
Mm.
If you get a Pyrex dish and put it in that, you know what honey does for singers?
Uh-huh.
Because, that might be worth a try. If you put it in a Pyrex dish, because have you just got the one or have you got several of them?
No, just the one, I think.
Oh, well, if you put some honey mix out, you'll finish up with three or four of them.
Well, surely that'd be worse. I've got no sympathy for noisy birds. I don't care if they're native, endangered, whatever. You put a cat up the tree, on the roof, wherever they are, and set that cat to work. That'd be my solution to that problem. I'm Glenn ZB. Death to noisy birds. Sleep's very important to me, you see. That has been News Talk ZB for Friday and the week. I will see you on Monday with the weekend edition after I've had lots of sleep between now and then.